You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Thank you for listening to the podcast from the Foundational Questions Institute. That's all we've got time for today, so thank you again to our contributors.
Brendan, stop. What are you doing? Why are you saying goodbye? The podcast has only just started.
Has it? Okay, I guess on your timeline, the podcast has just begun. I've recently got into time travel research, and it's really hard for me to keep track of my temporal coordinates.
I suppose you've been inspired by our first item today, which describes how a team of quantum physicists simulated time travel in the lab.
That's right, I was inspired by that item. I mean, I will be inspired by this item. Tenses are so difficult when you describe time travel. It's all Einstein's fault. It's his general theory of relativity that says that time travel is theoretically possible. According to relativity, space and time are woven together into a fabric that can be curved and bent in such strange ways that it's possible to create closed time-like curves.
Closed time-like curves. Those are passed through space-time that keep taking you back to the space-time point where you started again and again.
Sounds like the story of my life.
Anyway, yes. Closed time-like curves are theoretically possible in general relativity. Although, they do raise some weird paradoxes about time travel, like how you might be able to go back in time and kill your grandfather, thus preventing your own birth. In which case, you wouldn't be able to go back in time and kill your grandfather, if you see what I mean.
I've never understood why people think that if you travel back in time, you'd want to kill your grandfather. Does time travel turn you into a homicidal maniac?
It's a good question. But anyway, in the early 1990s, Oxford physicist David Deutsch showed that closed time-like curves that were set up in quantum experiments and were traversed by quantum particles, such as particles of light or photons, might escape such paradoxes. And it's this kind of scenario, sending a photon back in time and having it interact with its younger self, that researchers at the University of Queensland in Australia have simulated in the lab. Earlier, I chatted with two of the team, Andrew White and Martin Ringbauer, who talked about some of the strange results they found when time travel was combined with quantum mechanics. For example, the presence of closed time-like curves can violate Heisenberg's famous uncertainty principle and also allow you to perfectly copy any quantum state, a task that should be impossible in quantum theory. They also chatted about how such experiments could help physicists who are striving to unite quantum mechanics and general relativity in a single theory of quantum gravity. But first, White began by explaining the physics of closed time-like curves and how they could lead to time travel.
So closed time-like curves are a perfectly legitimate solution in general relativity. And what they are is they're a path or a curve through space-time that comes back to their starting point. So if you set forward on this path on a closed time-like curve, you'll come back around to where you set out from. And so the closed means that you come back to where you started, and the time-like means that you're basically travelling through time.
Einstein's theory of gravity, general relativity, says that space and time are stitched together to form a four-dimensional fabric, which can be bent and warped in bizarre ways. As White explains, the equations of general relativity tell you that this fabric could, in theory, create closed time-like curves in certain exotic situations.
It's allowed in general relativity in a set of fairly artificial situations. So the first solution was found, I think, in 1949 by Gödel, and that one, I think, was a massless rotating universe, which doesn't really correspond to anything like the world we live in. Mm-hmm. People have found other solutions then where they can generate these curves, but they always involve strong relativistic effects and rotation.
Although time travel appears to be theoretically possible, it raises paradoxes that are beloved of science fiction writers.
So they're allowed by general relativity. There's no physical principle that rules them out, within general relativity. But of course, that has led to questions from people because they seem to allow, therefore, things like the grandfather paradox, grandparent paradox, where you could go back in time, kill one of your grandparents, thus preventing your parents from being born, thus preventing you from being born, but then on the other hand, who built the time machine to go back in time and kill them, and so it goes. So there's consistency issues, at least logically, with them.
In the 1990s, however, physicist David Deutsch at the University of Oxford wrote a paper suggesting that the grandfather paradox might be sidestepped if closed time-like curves were created in a quantum setting. A crucial property of quantum particles is that they can be in superpositions, in which they exist in two or more different states at the same time. Before being observed, for example, a particle can be in a superposition of two places at the same time. And in a time travel scenario, it is possible that a quantum particle could exist in a superposition of two states that are equivalent to both going back in time and killing your grandfather and not killing your grandfather. David Deutsch interpreted this in terms of parallel universes. He suggested that this superposition corresponded to the creation of two separate realities, one in which you kill your grandfather and one in which you did not. That way, even if your temporal travels result in the untimely demise of one of your ancestors, you would not immediately pop out of existence. Instead, you would simply slip into a parallel reality. Team member Martin Ringbauer explains.
But now in the quantum case, quantum systems cannot only exist in two states, like either you go back in time or you don't go back in time. But in quantum case, you have mixed states as well in superpositions. So what happens is that the quantum system would be in a state of existing and non-existing, in a mixture of those two states. Therefore, you also have a mixture of killing your grandfather and not killing him. And Deutsch actually interpreted that in terms of the many worlds interpretation, where he said, when there is an encounter with the older version, then these two things could happen. So either you kill this older version, then you move into a different universe and you don't exist anymore in the universe where this grandfather was killed. You move into another universe. Or the other version is where you don't kill the grandfather and then two copies exist in this universe.
Right, I see. Okay, that's very science fiction-y.
But from a mathematical point of view, you can formulate it in a consistent way, and that's why we got interested in it.
The team used two photons, or particles of light, to mimic the effect of time travel in the lab. One photon played the part of the younger version of the time traveller. The other photon played the role of the older version of the time traveller.
Yes, well, we certainly don't have any wormholes in our lab. What we did is we used the second photon to play the role of the past incarnation of the time-traveling photon. So in that way, we had two photons in our simulation. One of them was the older version, one of them was the younger version. Then they interacted, and then we looked at the outcome and the behavior of this one photon.
The team wanted to know what would happen if the older and younger selves met and interacted. Mathematical calculations showed that this scenario is theoretically equivalent to one that is a little bit easier to simulate in the lab, in which one photon travels through normal space-time, but then interacts with another photon that is trapped in a closed time-like curve. The trick was then to simulate the closed time-like curve in the lab. Deutsch's original theoretical work explained how the state of a photon would be affected if it went through a closed time-like curve. Using this information, the team prepared one photon in the state that it would have had if it had been trapped in a closed time-like curve, and then watched what happened when it interacted with an arbitrary photon.
So photon one can be completely arbitrary, and that's also what we do. We prepare many different states for photon one and try different interactions. But the theory tells us how the photon in the closed time-like curve would look like. And we use this information to prepare it in that way and then see what this does to photon one when it interacts with this closed time-like curve.
It turns out that time travel creates some strange outcomes. Things that would otherwise be forbidden in quantum mechanics suddenly become possible. For instance, the quantum world is inherently uncertain. In fact, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle states that you cannot ever measure certain pairs of properties with perfect precision. That changes when a photon has been through a closed time-like curve, or a CTC, as Ringbauer calls them.
What we see is that the rules of standard quantum mechanics change. So there's many effects that are not possible in standard quantum mechanics that then seem to be possible in this time travel situation. One example is we see that you can perfectly distinguish quantum states, non-orthogonal quantum states, which is something that is just impossible in normal quantum mechanics. Because in standard quantum mechanics, you can only perfectly distinguish orthogonal quantum states, so like horizontal and vertical polarization. Now, when there's the CTC involved, this nonlinear evolution enables you to actually perfectly distinguish any two quantum states by just using the right interaction.
Another quantum rule that goes flying out of the window when time travel comes into play is quantum non-cloning, which states that you cannot perfectly copy any quantum state. This calls into question the security of quantum cryptography, a technique for transferring information which is supposed to be unhackable, because any attempt made by an eavesdropper to copy a quantum encryption key would immediately disturb the system and set off alarm bells.
So that's a result that has been known for a couple of years. You can, if you have a closed time-like curve, you can perfectly clone any quantum state, which is not possible in quantum mechanics, and which is on the basis of many effects in quantum mechanics, many applications, such as quantum cryptography, which is basically based on the fact that if two parties are sending a secret key between each other, then an eavesdropper cannot copy this key without destroying the key itself and then therefore revealing that it was copied. That's the basis of the security of quantum cryptography. Now, with a closed time-like curve, copying of quantum states becomes possible, which automatically then implies that the security of quantum cryptography would be broken.
Is there an easy way or an intuitive way to understand why a closed time-like curve would allow copying?
It's very related to the distinguishing of the quantum states. You can, in quantum mechanics, clone orthogonal states. You can, for example, clone the states horizontal polarization or vertical polarization. But what you cannot clone is any superposition or anything in between, because the states horizontal and vertical are completely classical if there is nothing else. And now, if you can have nonlinear evolutions that transform some non-orthogonal states to orthogonal states, that helps you clone them. And that just allows you to do a few more things that are forbidden in standard quantum mechanics.
So it sounds like the weird things that we associate with quantum mechanics, some of these are actually made slightly less weird when you put time travel into the mix. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it might get even more weird. So there's a lot of effects happening that should be impossible according to our current theories. That might just show us that we don't really understand what happens to quantum mechanics once strong relativistic effects come into play.
You know, is this type of analysis and these experiments, could they help people who are looking for a theory of quantum gravity in some way?
Well, it certainly points out what happens if you apply our current theory of quantum mechanics in a region of extreme gravitational effects. And there's very little we know about this interface between general relativity and quantum mechanics. So there's a lot of work to do, and we certainly hope that our study gives some insights and some hints as to where you could look for changes and look to find unification.
Thank you to Andrew White and Martin Ringbauer for chatting with Zia there. Although they haven't built an actual time machine in the lab, my TARDIS and I can confirm that in the future, time travel will be possible. Oh wait, I shouldn't have said that. Forget you heard it. There's a link to the Australian team's paper, which appeared in Nature Communications, on the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.